Jekyll Island, Canaanite Altars, and the Federal Reserve. But basically, you have, you know, someone so evil, the Rockefellers, that they literally built their house on Jekyll Island on top of an ancient Canaanite blood sacrifice altar.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thanks so much for coming on back to the show. Did you guys know that Genesis 6 is the Rosetta Stone? In fact, many of the movies you see coming out of Hollywood, they're inspired by Genesis 6, but you won't get biblical truth from Hollywood, as you well know. The Bible helps us connect prophecy to current events in order to discern the future. And in this one, I speak with brothers Pete and Luke of the Days of Noah podcast. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Thanks for tuning in, friends. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. If you keep your money in a bank, listen up. Your savings are at risk. A good portion of the banking system is under extreme stress, and some have actually collapsed. The dangers are clearer than ever. Car loans are defaulting. Credit card debt is ballooning to an all-time high. Commercial real estate is collapsing. But there is a safe and easy way to protect your financial future. Gold. Now, there are no guarantees of any kind, and investing in anything is always a risk, but gold is outside the government's reach and safe from economic policies like trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. In fact, this government is adding $1 trillion of debt every 100 days. Gold allows you to lock in today's value in the face of tomorrow's uncertainty. Don't wait for the next headline, crash, or bank run to act. Contact Noble Gold Investments today and safeguard your tomorrow. As a bonus, they'll give you a free quarter ounce gold standard coin as a thank you for opening a qualified account. Just visit noblegoldinvestments.com to claim your gold coin or call them at 877-646-5347. The link is below. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report here. I've got a real treat for you guys. New guests. These are two gentlemen I've never spoken with before, but I do admire their work. They've got a podcast they started in November of 2022. It's called The Days of Noah. Let me introduce my guests. Brothers, in fact, Pete and Luke. Now, who's who? I think Luke's in the upper left. Do I have that right?
That's right. I can't tell where I'm at, but I've got the blurry background.
Gotcha. All right. And Pete,
and I've got the studio headphones in my, because I'm the podcast producer. I do all the editing and all that good stuff. So Luke just gets to jump in and join me. And I say, watch these links. Listen to this.
Very good. And folks, you can find their podcast, The Days of Noah, on Apple, Spotify, pretty much everywhere. So do check it out. I'll leave the links below. Today, we're going to talk about the Nephilim, Genesis 6, prophecy. Maybe we'll even talk about the red heifer. You know, before I hit record, I was having a conversation with these gentlemen, and I mentioned the significance of the recent death of Jacob Rothschild and the House of Rothschild, the Balfour Declaration, and the whole story about the State of Israel. I think there's so much more than meets the eye. I think these people are trying to bring about prophecy, and maybe God's letting them do just that. But one thing's for sure, these people will not escape the wrath of God. Gentlemen, I want to play this clip for you. This is from my recent guest, Nathan Reynolds, who escaped the Illuminati Reynolds bloodline family. And we talked about Mark Zuckerberg, who's building a $100 million bunker to hide from the wrath of the people when the SHTF happens. But as you guys know, none of these traitors can hide from the wrath of God Almighty. Their bunkers won't save them. Listen to this.
But this is what's promised to us. If we read the scriptures plainly and understand that we are given insights, one of the most powerful tools that's available to us is what's written in this book that may be thousands of years old, and yet it's still got prophetic words that are yet to be fulfilled. And it tells us that the kings of the earth, the powerful men, the rulers and the tyrants that are conquerors of nations, they're going to burrow their way into the hills, into the mountains and the caves, and they are going to literally do everything they can to hide from the wrath of the one that is coming. They understand that they have done such evil, that they've spilled so much innocent blood, that there's retribution that's coming to them, and that's not just the hands on some mythological idea of some creator. No, these are like the people that are going to hunt them out of the rocks and the cliffs and the caverns. Like it says in Jeremiah 16:6, Yahuwah sends out the hunters to root these people out of their places where they thought they were so secure that no one could get to them.
Guys, I got to tell you, that gives me absolute goosebumps. Jeremiah 6:16, This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you, Zuckerberg said, we will not walk in it. And the wrath of God will be yours, Mark Zuckerberg. Gentlemen, what say you about anything I just discussed or that clip?
Luke, you want to fire first?
Yeah, that's fine. It's spot on. I mean, it's prophetic, you know. It's not surprising that it's making headlines, that the wealthy are publicly flaunting their money and showing their doomsday caverns or fortresses or whatever. But the word of God is plain that they're going to flee, but there's nowhere you can hide. So
it brings to mind, Sean, I had this scripture ready for maybe later in the episode, but Psalm 2, God stands and laughs. Why did the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed. And the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. And one thing that was revealed to me as I'm going through different teachings, one from Russ Dizdar on his shatterthedarkness.net website, is when you look at the blood coming up to the bridle of Christ's horse when he comes back, that's the blood of his enemies. I mean, he's coming back in fury. And you don't want to be on the wrong side of that coin. You know, Luke was a Marine. I like to say this a lot. You know, a Marine is your best friend on the battlefield, but your worst enemy. And that's Jesus Christ right there.
God, so powerful. And Nathan's right. These people have done such evil and spilled so much innocent blood. Of course, they must fear the retribution of God Almighty. And in fact, Nathan told me, because he knows these people, he comes from the Reynolds bloodline, he said these people sleep with fear every night. These people really have a hard time ever relaxing because they know deep down they are guilty of crimes against humanity, and they will never find shelter or peace in a world that they've destroyed.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, they're trying to counterfeit everything. God gives eternal life. And I'm sure you've talked about it a lot, Sean, is transhumanism. This idea of life extension, right? And even these bunkers, life preservation, that's the mark of the beast right there. It's promising something that God is giving to us on his terms, and Satan trying to do it on his terms instead.
Why did you guys title, I know why you guys titled your show The Days of Noah, because as in the days of Noah, abortion. These people worship at the altar of abortion. They want to cut off the genitals of our children. And this transhumanist movement also is a transgender movement because these people revel in their sin. You know, I think it was Nathan Reynolds who actually said that on my show. These people celebrate their sin. They revel in it. They love it. They cherish their sin. Whereas you and me and the listeners, those who fear God Almighty, we are embarrassed and ashamed of our sins, and we beg for forgiveness. But these people flaunt it. They love their sin, and they revel in it. They openly display it and mock God. That's the part I can't get my brain around, guys.
Yeah. No, it brings to mind another verse. They hate the light, for their deeds were evil. You know, they just... And it's crazy. You think about the harvest of souls as God pours out his Holy Spirit in the end times, and how many people are going to get saved. And it's probably going to be the biggest harvest ever in God's kingdom. And yet there's going to be people, millions of people are going to dig in their heels and still shake their fist at God. It's hard to fathom.
Yeah. And Luke, you served in the military. I want your thoughts on this because, in prep for this show, I was going over some notes and an email that Pete sent me, and he said Satan is building an army. I don't think it's ever been more clear. So as a military veteran, you tell me what it means to you and give us some examples of the army that you think Satan is building.
Yeah, so some of the research, and if you don't mind, you asked a question a second ago, you know, why did we name this podcast Days of Noah? So obviously it's going off of Genesis 6, and what took place during Noah's time and during the flood. But Jesus in Matthew 24 quoted or referenced the days of Noah as it was going to be like his return is going to be like it was during Noah's time. So during Noah's time, there was men, just like you're describing, around the world presently that flaunt their sin and not thinking of any of God. Maybe they are, maybe a percentage of their brain is in fear, but the majority of their thoughts are consumed with doing evil continually. And then there's technology that took place during that time and is taking place really in the last 100 years. It's really just exploded. It's mirroring the Genesis 6 timeframe. So also to answer your question, dealing with this army that's coming, I would reference several individuals. Pastor Doug Riggs, his website, dougriggs.org. He's with the Lord now. Russ Dizdar, my brother just mentioned him, shadowthedarkness.net. L.A. Mizzouli and his work, particularly dealing with the UFO and abduction phenomenon. I don't know if you've discussed on your channel the Black Awakening that Russ Dizdar referenced in his book, and which was part of his testimony as a police officer chaplain. He was a chaplain with the police force, I believe it was in Ohio. And basically, if you look at what the scripture describes as far as the angels that sided with Lucifer, a third of them fell from heaven, right? So already, just looking at those numbers of angels on one side versus the other, the enemy's outnumbered, okay? Which, you know, God doesn't need numbers, you know, he's all powerful. But it's like Lucifer is convinced himself with these lies that it's the truth, that I can build up an army that can fight God. So what is that army? Part of it is the transhumanism movement. So individuals that are willing to embrace technology to prolong their life, even doing what they did in Genesis time, where they're hybrids. They're not even human anymore. So how is that even possible? So the work that Doug Riggs, L.A. Mizzouli, Russ Dizdar, the testimonies of the individuals that they were rescuing, counseling, saving, they were witnesses to. In some cases, it was satanic ritual abuse. In some cases, it was alien abduction. So there's a breeding program going on. Individuals are becoming pregnant, and their seed, their offspring, is being taken from them. I know it sounds like something from science fiction or something, but it's kind of like the Holocaust. It's crazy to think that people would still deny that the Nazis slaughtered millions of Jews, but it did take place. And how do you know that it took place? You go to the testimonies of the individuals that were there.
Yeah, but you know what else? And nobody ever wants to talk about this. How many Russians were slaughtered? How many Americans were slaughtered? Okay.
That's right.
Now that 6 million figure, I would balk at that 6 million figure, but they use it as a hedge of protection so you can never criticize that particular race. And I have a real problem with it. So Pete, what do you make of Satan's army? It's a very weak army. It's very fallible. They cannot take on God. And you know what else? They can't take on red-blooded, God-fearing Christians either. They're going to try, and they want to behead all of us, but they're not going to win this battle. I feel it in my heart and soul. I swear to God, they're not going to win. In fact, they're losing. They've lost the argument in the town square, and people are waking up all over the world. There is truly a great awakening happening. Do you feel it?
Yeah, for sure. And one of the questions that we've posed to a number of guests in recent episodes is, does Satan actually think he can win? Or is he just trying to burn the house down, you know, do as much damage and chaos on his way out? Because let's face it, he knows the scriptures. He knows the prophecies better than we do. So, you know, I've asked guests, like, is he going to try to beat God on a technicality? Like, okay, it says there's going to be a one world government, one world religion, all this stuff. Well, why doesn't he just tell his, you know, Luciferian elites, New World Order, Illuminati, whatever, just tell them, hey, guys, just kind of keep it status quo, you know, don't rock the boat. Like, we're doing enough damage against God and his people as it is. No, I think actually he has the hubris, and maybe it's the corruption of his pride, that he actually thinks he has a chance to win. You know, some guests have told us, like, I think Gary Wayne, Luke, we had on, author of the Genesis 6 conspiracy, that maybe Satan is just trying to carve out a little, you know, plot of land, so to speak, for his own. Like, you know, humans have been given this realm of Earth as our dominion. And let's face it, the angels that rebelled, they are not too pleased that we are called the sons of God now, that we're going to displace them, and that we have that opportunity. But you made me think of a verse again, Sean, in Revelation, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And again, I'm kind of jumping ahead to maybe some hope at that I was going to save for the end, but this is good. I think it's going to be the church's finest hour. Like, things are going to get dark and deep and ugly. And I think Satan is counting on kicking our teeth, his, you know, Christ's bride, kicking our butt enough that we're down for the count. But all it takes is a remnant. You think of, what was it, Gideon's army cut down to 300. All it takes is a remnant of faithful few, because we have been given dominion in this realm, right? So God is activated in some way. He's limiting himself to be activated when we allow him to come in. Satan's counting on us being so weak that he can take over. And it just takes a few to say, God, we need you. And Jesus is the one himself coming in to do the work.
When you say the church, what do you mean by that specifically? Because we've got different denominations of folks listening probably right now.
Yeah.
And I went to a Catholic all boys school, okay, for 4 years, actually five, eighth grade. No, I take that back. Nope, that's right. 5 years from the eighth grade through senior year. But I spent 3 years in a Lutheran school and I studied Luther's catechism. I prefer the Lutheran religion because, of course, Luther broke away from the corruption he saw. And I don't like an intermediary between me and God. I don't need the Pope. And by the way, this Pope is about as new world order as you get. So when you say the church, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. And I'll say too, Luke and I grew up Lutheran, so we can appreciate that. But yeah, no, the church basically, and let's frame it this way too, because King James deliberately mistranslated that word in the King James Bible. As good as a translation as it actually is, and it is, but no translation in English is perfect. And one of the things he did was the word in Greek ekklesia, which means a ruling council, an assembly, a congregation. That's what Christ said, on this rock, I will build my ruling council, my assembly. And the word church is what King James put in place of it in most cases, because he believed in this divine right of kings, which again goes back to Genesis 6, this whole hero worship in the pantheon of gods, that the kings of old in the golden age were so because they were partially divine, they were hybrids. But he put this word in there because he didn't want a challenge to his divine right of authority. So what I mean by the church is the ecclesia, those that call Jesus Christ Lord and do their best to follow him. And that could be all stripes of denominations. But, you know, God knows our hearts.
Yeah, that's right. Boy, you just sparked a thought. I wasn't going to ask you about Donald J. Trump, but... What do you think lies in the man's heart? What do you make of Donald J. Trump? Because what I've said time and time again is the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Actually, I've never said that about him, but it makes sense, right? Because the enemy of me and you and our families, they despise that man.
This is another reason why Trump is being indicted.
And human traffickers out of business.
Because I want to tell you something. Whereas Puppet Joe Biden's witch of a wife mocked Christmas with those transgender men performing in the White House, Donald J. Trump had prayer circles when he was in the Oval Office. So I just wonder, what do you guys think lies in the man's heart? And do you hold out hope for our country? Because if they steal another election, it's game over.
Luke, you want to take
I'll touch
first?
On it?
Go for it.
I was volunteering. I mean, only God knows the hearts and the intentions of once Donald Trump. But I believe if you look at what the scripture says, it says test the fruit, right? You could look at Trump and his words, but you could also look at his actions and the deeds that he did. And they lined up with the word of God. He was pro-life. He was pro-family. He was pro-military. He was about making America strong again because we're so far in debt. We're spending money like crazy here and abroad. And so he's, in my mind, more fiscally conservative in that regard. So I think he was a positive force in what he was able to do in 4 years. So I'm hopeful that he, if he is the nominee for the Republican Party, I don't see anybody that can stand in his way unless they do steal an election. There's been nothing but corruption up to this point with Biden.
You know what? That's a good point. And I think my question was a dumb one. I shouldn't have asked you about Trump and what lies in his heart. I should have asked you guys about what you think lies in Joseph Robinette Biden's heart.
Ooh,
that's a serious question too. And I can't fathom living a life as wretched as Joe Biden has lived his and being so near death. I mean, the man's got one foot in the grave. How do you explain it? I guess it's biblical, right? Hopelessly deceived. The man has to be hopelessly deceived to live such a wretched life.
Yeah, I agree.
My prayer for him is mercy. And because I wonder if he even knows. You know, half the time he doesn't seem like he's in his right mind.
Yeah, but he's been a liar. He's been a liar his entire life. Plagiarist, liar, thief, bribe taker, and now traitor. A traitor to his nation. I don't think there's a greater sin, is there?
I think you're right when it comes to his track record. But when you got somebody that is that mentally off, it's almost like someone that's got Alzheimer's. He probably doesn't even remember half the things that he did and that he should feel sorry for and need to repent about. So I feel bad for the man in the sense of his current state of being. And he's just being used like a puppet. And it's other people that are controlling this nation that are making the laws and putting the words in front of him, which he messes up half the time.
Yeah, like Barack Obama. So yeah. Barack Obama is the puppet string puller behind the scenes. And Barack Obama is a creation of the CIA, 100%, can't be disputed. That's a fact. And the CIA, I told my daughter last night, because she turned me on to a great show. I just love her. She's so brilliant and she's waking up so quickly. And I knew she would because she's so smart. I knew she'd suss it all out and she's starting to figure it all out. She told me about a show last night on Netflix called Octopus. And I told her I'd watch it. I watched episode one last night. And before I even watched it, I knew exactly where we were going. And I told her, you know, the CIA still runs the show in this country. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has now said publicly, over the last year or two, that he knows that the CIA murdered his father and his uncle, our beloved President JFK. And my daughter texted back and said, I believe it 100%. Those are the facts and people are waking up in droves. I got to tell you guys, I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. And speaking of the CIA, I mentioned this on a recent episode of ours. I had a political cartoon idea pop in my head one day. I think it was as I was listening to RFK Jr.'s latest book, The Wuhan Cover-Up. So picture Lucifer, Satan, and he's got his arm around a little boy, presumably his son, and the son is the CIA, and the son looks up at Lucifer, Dad, and says, I want to be just like you when I grow up. And Satan says, just keep it up. You're doing it. I mean, the amount of destruction that they've done to this country, you can't even hardly capture it.
Right. And Rothschild, Jacob Rothschild just died. And the blood on his hands and the blood on that family is almost immeasurable. Only God himself can measure the amount of blood on the hands of the elite, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds. And these are the same people, by the way, who have lied to us about our history. They've lied to us absolutely 100% about human history in their effort to dumb us down. And we know they've lied to us. How do we know that, Sean? Well, because of Genesis 6. The whole world history has been hidden from us as they've attempted to dumb us down and keep us mired in our stupidity and their lies.
And let me touch on that for a sec. You know, you're asking about kind of the days of Noah and what do we talk about? That's really it right there. I say it this way as kind of a tagline elevator pitch, right? Uncovering the past, connecting the present, discerning the future. And, you know, all of Hollywood and Marvel and all this superhero stuff, right? The Greek Titans, all of this, all these world religions with the pantheon of gods, it all comes back to Genesis 6, right? These are the men of renown, as Genesis 6:4 says, okay? And that is the whole counter narrative to the true God of the Bible, right? And, you know, if we could just get people to understand what is in this book, the most supernatural book on earth, you know, instead of, as the Simpsons mocked it, as a 2,000-year-old sleeping pill in one episode, I remember. Nothing that Hollywood ever produced or ever will produce holds a candle to it, because it's all derivative of this Genesis 6 story. Everything came from there.
That's right. And as in the days of Noah, as I mentioned, the blood on the hands of the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Windsors, actually not their real name, German by heritage, changed their name to blend in better. Luke 12:7. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. It almost brings me to tears, because the Lord God knows the crimes of these people. All of their crimes are numbered. Where do you think Jacob Rothschild is right now? Do you guys want to venture a guess?
Begging for mercy. I think of that parable of the rich man and Lazarus, you know?
Asking for a drop of water.
Yep.
That's right. Isn't that crazy? To sacrifice your soul to gain the whole world, what does it profit a man? Why do they operate like this? Why do they? The greatest pleasure you get out of life is when you give to someone else. Yeah. These people do the opposite. All they do is take, steal, and kill. So by nature, we know they're Luciferians. And full stop.
Well, again, it echoes what Genesis 6, what happened there. And also, you look at the temptation of Jesus, right? He was taken to a high hill, a plateau, and Lucifer was said, if you just bow down, all this will be yours. Well, obviously Jesus did not, but there's been many men and women, present day and in the past, that have made that exchange. Genesis 6, there was an exchange of women for technology. And there was wives that were impregnated by the angelic, which created a hybrid offspring. Well, there's been, honestly, a breeding program. There's been exchange of money and human trafficking. All this has been tied together in present day, just as it was back in the past. Mm-hmm. So you have individuals that are willing to say, yes, sign me up. I'm willing to sacrifice my soul. I'm willing to dive all in, and they're not ashamed about it.
Let me ask you about the breeding programs, as in the days of Noah. You've brought that up now twice, I think, in the conversation. Are we talking about hybrid breeding programs taking place in underground bunkers and military bases? Is that what you guys are referring to?
I'm referring to both. So as I mentioned, those three individuals, Russ Dizdar, L.A. Mazzulli, Pastor Doug Riggs, the paths that they laid and the work that the ministry that they do, they intertwine. So you have individuals in deep underground military bases that you described. So that's, they're very real, present, and human trafficking and that type of stuff is taking place. There's many reports on it from testimonies of individuals that have gotten free from it, from literal mothers that have been impregnated by a demonic entity. Okay, so there is a hybrid that was inside of her that was taken from her and birthed. Okay, it sounds science fiction, but it took place in Genesis 6. It's taking place today. L.A. Missouri has many adoptees of the UFO genre, you could say, that is, the same thing is taking place. They have a space of time where they're abducted. They don't know what happened to them. Next thing they know, they're pregnant. About 3 months later, first trimester, they're abducted again. The child is taken. They go to the doctor, get checkups. There's no residue of a miscarriage or anything. They're completely clean. But they have it documented that they saw a doctor and they were verified pregnant. So there is something sinister going on, and it goes back to the rise of the Antichrist, because he's going to be a hybrid. He's going to look perfect. He's going to look passable as a human, but he's not going to be fully human. I believe it was Dr. Jacobs that wrote two books. One of them is They Walk Among Us. And it was his interviews with abductees and the hybrid program. He wrote a sequel. I'd have to look at my Kindle library. But there's many evidences of something very sinister, very dark, very evil that's taking place. And they wanted it hidden, but it's coming to light. And I don't know. There's going to come a time where I think everyone's going to be well aware of it, and they're going to have to choose sides.
Pete, everything is coming to light, isn't it? Like, yeah. You remember in 2012, there was sort of that idea of the Mayan calendar coming to an end, and that would spark a great awakening, a shift in human consciousness. Well, here we are just 10, 12 short years later, and I can feel it. I can see it. I can point to it. I mean, that was a time in 2012, I was doing the work I'm doing now, but most people didn't speak the language. They didn't know what the central bank is. They didn't understand the Federal Reserve. They didn't know the House of Rothschild and Rockefeller concocted that in 1913. And in fact, the Rothschilds had 2 10-year charters in the 1800s, and they already had a central bank, but they lost it twice. But they finally got their camel's nose under the tent in 1913, and they've destroyed our nation through the destruction of our money by design. And by the way, when you print the money out of thin air, it's really easy to bribe and buy people, which is what Soros does. And Soros, I believe, is a Rothschild puppet. So in the time we have left, let's talk about all of our once great republic, because it is in the process of falling. And I pray every single day that we're able to take it back. But traitors like this woman you see here, who lied and cheated and was sleeping with a married man, their crimes are legion. You guys all know that story. But this is how bad it's getting. A judge has ordered journalist Catherine Herridge to cough up a confidential source. And until she does, he's fining her $800 per day. Okay. This is the fall of the Republic. Can we save it, gentlemen?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned 1913 and the Federal Reserve. So I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. Are you familiar with Timothy Bentz and the interview that Rob Skiba did with him maybe 10, 12 years ago?
No, I'm familiar with Rob Skiba, God rest his soul, but I didn't hear that interview. No.
Yeah, fascinating. It's still out there if you search for it. Jekyll Island, Canaanite altars, and the Federal Reserve. But basically, you have, you know, someone so evil, the Rockefellers, that they literally built their house on Jekyll Island on top of an ancient Canaanite blood sacrifice altar. And Tim Bentz has been used by God to go around the world and find these ancient altars. That mandate that was given to destroy them wherever they're found, that mandate's never been lifted. And some of these are, you know, houses are built on top of them, or they're, you know, deep underground, but they're still there. They're still influencing the land spiritually. And Tim has dealt with, he said, 28 of these. We've had him on the show, I think, 3 times now. But if you look at just the influence of the Rockefeller family alone, what they've done to, like you said, the monetary system enslaving us in debt, the education system to crank out people that don't critical think. I think Nate Reynolds mentioned that on your recent episode. And then the medical system, how it was a relatively level playing field with homeopathy and herbalists and things like that. But they funded the universities to get medical doctors who prescribed pharmakia, right? Sorcery. And got that pushed in, even though obviously pharmacy products have their place, right? If I'm in pain or something. But this is the world. Just think of that influence of money, education, and the medical system. So you ask, you know, can it be saved? I don't know if everybody's pushing, these elites are pushing for the United States to get pushed down, because we can't be this global power. If there's going to be a one world government, right? The new world order. They can't have the US be this beacon of light. They can't have the US powerful. So I'm going to fight back. I know you are, Sean and Luke. But I think there is some inevitability of a decline of the US at some point. I don't know how far it goes, but I believe, you know, God is going to see us through that, and we're still going to have a place. I'm not going to lay down for it, though.
But let me ask you this. If you were these people, right, if you sold your soul to Satan and you're all on board with the New World Order, and maybe you're a puppet of the Rothschilds or the Rockefellers, by the way, the Rockefellers and JP Morgan himself were puppets of the Rothschilds, just so you all know. But if you were beholden to this evil, if you were part of it, what card do you have left to play? These people are being exposed at every turn. That's what makes me so excited. So what card do they have left to play? Nuclear war?
I think they're pushing the envelope. I think they know their time is short, just like Satan knows his time is short. Because let's face it, the great equalizer in this day and age, is information. It's the fact that we can communicate right now on the internet. And you alluded to a lot of the things that people have, you know, woken up from, you know, not the official story of JFK or 9/11 or any number of things that people have woken up and realized, wow, my government is this corrupt. So I think they know that their time is short. You mentioned, you know, Trump earlier. I would point people to Jonathan Cahn's book. Some of his books, Josiah Manifesto, most recently. It's fascinating, the parallels to these ancient figures in the Old Testament. You know, Jezebel having the exact same political position and time on the political stage as Hillary Clinton. And Trump being a type, if I'm getting this right, I think it was Jehu or Cyrus. Was it Cyrus? Okay. Coming in and... you know, not necessarily, he was a wild card. Okay. Not necessarily God's man, but definitely used by God to, you know, hold back evil. And he did a lot of good things. So, you know, I just echo Jonathan Cahn's warning that we've got a lot of repentance to do, again, as an ecclesia, the judgment starts with the house of the Lord. If we want to see things turn around, we got to get ourselves right. That's where the revival starts with.
Can I ask you guys something? I'm really opening a can of worms here, because I said, you know, we got about 10 minutes left, so we might have to go a little bit long. But in terms of prophecies playing out, or prophecies being made to happen,
right?
There's a real push-pull here, as we discussed before I hit record. The Talmudic Jews who hate Jesus Christ, and I think worship a very dark power, the Red Heifer, what's going on in Israel? What do you guys make of Talmudic Jews and any prophecies, things that are going on in Israel? Because it's getting kind of scary. I think these are some of the most radicalized people on the face of the earth, the Talmudic Jews. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think one of the areas of research, and I love that, you know, as Luke and I are hosting a show, that it makes me dig in deeper to these topics. And one of the things, like in Dr. Laura Sanger's book, The Roots of the Federal Reserve, she's got a chapter on the Ashkenazis, right? So it's kind of this false Jew that you mentioned earlier, you know, the Rothschilds, right? Red Shield. That's something I want to dig deeper into and understand. You know, Satan counterfeits everything. So there's a counterfeit. I mean, gosh, even the very flag, right? The Star of David has absolutely nothing to do with David and Hebrews. But in a sense, because God is sovereign, I'm leaning towards the idea that even though there is this false Jew Zionist kind of movement, as you're talking about, and maybe that was what, you know, 1948, that was the push. And so you might have a case and say, oh, that really wasn't God doing that. Well, you know, we also have God bringing up leaders and setting leaders down, scripture says. So maybe to your point, what if these things are being allowed to play out and it is a fulfillment? I don't really know. We're not experts on that. I do think what's happening there is fascinating. You have Hamas basically saying that the Temple Institute, which again is a far ultra-nationalist, pushing for a rebuilding of the temple, and this red heifer sacrifice. Again, if people want to look this up, it goes back to Numbers 19 in the Bible. Okay, it's a purification process. And so this has to happen before they can build the temple. So Hamas has said
the red heifer, the myth that fueled.
Sorry. There it is. So Hamas has said that that this is a huge reason for the war that started. Now, I've kind of stayed out of it. I haven't been paying attention to this war. I've heard a lot of back and forth about the evils on both sides. So I've kind of stayed neutral. And just in the last 2 weeks, and I want to give a shout out because, again, Luke and I are just learning about this. I want to shout out a few people. Denton and Jared from Who Told You That podcast first brought this to light when they interviewed us 2 weeks ago. Nate and Luke on Blurry Creatures podcast, and also Jason and Chi-Chi from Faith and Friction podcast that was on Blurry Creatures. They're the ones that brought this to light. Jason and Chi-Chi were in 2021 on the ranch in Texas with the rabbis as they were picking out these heifers to go to Israel. They got to be there on the ground and see it. So there's a push for it. Okay, so this is a threat to Islam because they know that not far behind this is the Dome of the Rock coming down and a resuming of sacrifices. This is a, you know, in my mind, it's kind of like the Antichrist, right? He's going to show up 3.5 years into this 7-year period, put himself in that temple that's going to be rebuilt, and declare himself to be God and say, you don't need to sacrifice anymore. Okay, well, for that to happen, sacrifices have to start again, right? But it's almost like God forcing his hand, because the Antichrist can't wait until Jesus shows up in the second coming and come late to the party and go, no, actually, I'm the Messiah, because he's going to be way less, let's face it, way less impressive than the real thing. So it's almost like I think these things are playing out in order that Satan's hand is flushed and he has to show up as the Antichrist. So I think it's, in my opinion, it's the most significant prophetical events since 1948. Because, I mean, whether it's Zionists, false Jews, or the real thing, if you want to put it that way, these things have to happen scripturally, prophetically. They have to happen before Christ's return. So the fact that these things are lining up now, I think, is very significant.
Well, what I think is so troubling about the things going on in Israel and the radicalization of these rabbis, I guess they've always been radical, all right? Sorry, just read the Bible, guys. Fully understand what happened to Jesus Christ, but the Jews believe that they are impure, and to purify themselves, they need to sacrifice a red heifer. Right. You know, if they would just accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they would be purified by begging for forgiveness and crying out on their hands and knees to accept Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, but that's never going to happen. So as in the days of Noah, I think these people, really the root of the problem, as you guys hit on it, are the Canaanites. Moloch, child sacrifice.
Yes.
As in the days of Noah. Nothing has changed.
No.
No, and I this came across my news blog. CVS and Walgreens will begin selling an abortion pill. So it's everywhere. And even with Roe v. Wade being turned back, woe to the states and woe to the citizens that vote to make it law in their state that abortion is legal. I'm very hopeful that America as a whole is going to be protected. It's been blessed. How can something be cursed that has been blessed? But I believe there is going to be pockets of judgment. And if, I mean, that is such a big issue. If you're in one of those states, I would move.
Yeah, I'm in a blue state, and I absolutely despise the criminal government that runs this state. They're deplorable. And yeah, look at Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom was just asked in an interview the other day, a televised major network interview, asked about Joe Biden's presidency, and the idiot, which he is, he's House of Getty, totally bought and paid for, globalist, New World Order piece of trash. He called it a masterclass. Joe Biden's presidency, a masterclass. And I said, well, that's true. If the masterclass is in how to destroy a nation and betray your people, well, then, yeah, 100%. It's been a masterclass.
Yeah, for sure. No, you know, the whole world lies in the hands of the evil one, Bible says, right? But then again, we have God laughing at their plans. Boy, you know, again, you think about how in the West we've fictionalized so much of the supernatural. That's a big thing that we talk about on our show, is the subtitle to the late Dr. Michael Heiser's book, Unseen Realm, is recovering the supernatural worldview of the Bible. And I just can't think of anything more exciting than to be on God's team in these crazy times with hybrid breeding programs, with, you know, the demons that run around and rule our world. We're going to have the church's finest hour, but we need to be a part of it, you know, be that bride of Christ, ready and waiting for his return, as Lucas said many times, quoting that. And yeah, that's where the victory is. From victory, not for victory.
Yeah. Yep. We're watchmen on the watchtower, and we're just calling them as we see them, guys. So I guess the final question for you guys, I really appreciate your time today, would be, how often do you post material? How often do you do your podcast? And how do you decide what topics you're going to cover?
Good question. Well, I'll tell you real quick, we've started just as almost like a book club of listening to Blurry Creatures episodes or reading a book, and Luke and I and a friend discussing it before we got guests on. But we post weekly. Every Sunday, a new episode comes out Sunday morning. I've got a pretty full schedule the next couple months of guests coming up. We've got some big names. We got Derek Gilbert coming up from Skywatch TV and Prophecy Watchers, if you're familiar with that. Luke mentioned L.A. Marzulli. He's going to be on as well. We're interviewing him this month. So how do we choose the guests? Well, I kind of get on these tracks, and I really feel the Holy Spirit is just kind of directing it, because I'll get on these tracks of really wanting to dig in and understand things, right? So we started Genesis 6, Sons of God. What does that mean? We started in episode 1 and just looking at the scripture. Well, 34 episodes later, we had a pastor out of Colorado, Doug Van Dorn, frequent guest on Blurry Creatures, on the show. And I'll just give you the title of that episode. 35 is Origin of the Genesis 6 Heresy. And it was actually, so this idea that there were two powers in heaven was a well-accepted, even though we think of, you know, the Jews, the Hebrews as monotheistic, they saw verses where there were basically two co-equal divine powers in the Old Testament. And they kind of wondered about this. Well, they quickly discarded that idea once Jesus came, because now you couldn't have, and this again, I'll frame it this way. They discarded the common understanding that in Genesis 6, the sons of God were angels. Okay. There's a common line of thought that is taught in our seminaries across the board, by and large, that this was the good sons of Seth marrying the bad daughters of Cain, which is just laughable in terms of the context and how do you get giants from that. But long story short, Doug pointed out how it was the Jewish leaders, and along with Augustine and others, that popularized a naturalistic view of Genesis 6. So you're discounting the supernatural of what actually took place. Okay. And now that's left us where the atheist like Hitchens will say the God of the Old Testament is a genocidal maniac, because we don't understand that when God gave the haram, the ban, okay, the curse against these tribes, these were hybrid tribes. These were not fully human in many ways. Okay. So we've gutted our Bible of that supernatural context. So that's, you know, a driving force to our guests is edification as a believer, understanding the supernatural world, how it ties to the Bible, and how this ancient history connects to current events such as AI, transhumanism, and what is coming. Because Revelation is clear, men's hearts will fail them for what is coming on the earth. People will literally die from fright. These days, and again, Jesus said, unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be left alive. So we got to get ready. And maybe we're not going to be here for the worst of it, as I kind of feel like I'm a mid-tribber that halfway through the worst of it, God's ecclesia is taken out of the way, and God's wrath is poured out. But we're going to be here. It says, unless that man of sin is revealed, these things will not happen. The Messiah will not come. So we're going to see the Antichrist, and it could be coming sooner than we think.
Yeah. All eyes on Basel, Switzerland, and CERN. Guys, one last screen share to do, and I want to round out the show with this soundbite. And the way I'm going to frame it up as we part ways is just to remind everybody that the ad hominem attacks against we the people, against the patriots, against the people that do want to put America first and restore our republic, the Mockingbird mainstream media whores call us nationalists. Or they'll say, if we don't want open borders and an endless stream of illegals coming through destroying our cities and bankrupting us, we're xenophobic. Okay, well, guess what? Ice Spice can appear at the Super Bowl with Taylor Swift and do demonic hand signals with an upside down cross she calls attention to on global television. And nobody says one word about that in the mainstream media. Do you know what the new talking point is? Prepare yourselves, Christians, because they're coming after us now.
The one thing that unites all of them, because there's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalists is very different, mm-hmm. is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God.
You can't make this stuff up, guys. Traitors within, traitors at every turn. You tell me that dummy never read the Declaration of Independence? Maybe she didn't, but she's absolutely CIA. There's no way anybody with any intelligence whatsoever would get up and say such things. But by the way, the new program, the new talking point is Christians are the problem, not just nationalists, Christian nationalists. So if we don't put an end to this, if we don't take our government back, they're going to start rolling out the guillotines, guys. Biblical prophecy, that is how evil they are. Final word. I'll give you each the final word, and I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. Well, man, yeah, I've heard a bit about that nationalism on Twitter. A lot of people saying, you know, we need to do this or that or take this back. Yeah, I thought that same thing in that quote, Sean. did she not read that these natural rights are given to us by God? They're not given by government. I just want to thank you for your time. I think it's been great talking with you and getting a chance to reach out to your audience.
Yeah, you're welcome. And the thing is, guys, is that as our audience knows, our rights are natural rights. There's natural law, and these people are trying to destroy all of it. And of course, they hate the authority of God. They hate God himself. And if our rights aren't given to us at birth by God, then our rights are given to us by a man who can take away all of our rights on a whim. Just like we're seeing all over the world, Justin Castro Trudeau and all of the evil leaders who have sold out to the New World Order. I want to say our goodbyes and thank Luke very much for your time, sir. Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome. And Pete, thank you so much. I'll remind everybody, the show is called The Days of Noah. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, and all of those great places. I will leave a link below. Thanks, gents.
Thanks, Sean.
Friends, thanks so much. If you're still with us, spread this one far and wide within your sphere of influence on social media. It's time to wake up the normies and bring them to Jesus because the hour is getting late. And I'll remind you every single day for free, check us out for free to get the antidote to corporate propaganda at sgtreport.com. May God bless you and yours, friends. Bye-bye.
According to builders of these luxury bunkers, the buying frenzy began after Meta founder Mark Zuckerberg announced that he was constructing a $100 million bunker in Hawaii.
The kings of the earth, the powerful men, the rulers and the tyrants that are conquerors of nations, they're going to burrow their way into the hills, into the mountains and the caves, and they are going to literally do everything they can to hide from the wrath of the one that is coming.